In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated, everyone. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. For through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. Morning.
Good morning.
Boy, you all rocked that that glory. That was sweet. It was really lovely. Really lovely and powerful. Thank you so much. Hello. Thank you. My name is Phil Jackson. Not that Phil Jackson. The other one. And I bring you greetings and welcome from the opposite tip of the island, from Trinity Church downtown. It's a pleasure to be with you here. I'm here at the invitation of one of our vestry members, Gail Robinson, right down here. She invited me to come. Thank you, Gail. I got to tell you, I've never been here before. This is lovely. This is really beautiful. Beautiful church. Beautiful community. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for making sure I'm in the right place at the right time. I deeply appreciate it, and I appreciate being here with you all today. I'm going to do a couple things today, but hopefully not too long. I want to mention signs. We just heard from John's Gospel, and in John's Gospel that we just heard, Jesus begins by saying to his disciples, I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The gospel is the gospel of signs. Signs happen. There are seven of them, sort of by official count. That is, so for example, when Jesus turns the water into wine at the wedding in Cana, that is a sign of something. It's pointing. A sign is that which points to something else. The biggest of the signs before the resurrection, which is itself a sign, is the raising, when Jesus raises Lazarus from the grave. That is the big sign that begins the passion. And again, a sign in John's gospel is something that points to something else. And that something else in John's gospel is always pointing to the power of God in Jesus Christ. It's always pointing like that. It's never the thing itself. It's always pointing to God. With me? Okay. So I want to talk, we're going to come back to signs in just a minute, because signs point to this deeper reality of God. I just want to say something that I've kind of noticed amongst you all just in the last couple hours that I've been here about your witness as signs pointing to God. Because I can feel that from you all, from this community. But first I want to tell you about something that is a favorite of mine. Anybody ever heard of Thomas Merton? Thomas Merton is like my spiritual guru. I go to Gethsemane Abbey every year for a retreat. I've read all of his, Merton never thought a word he didn't write down. So I haven't read all of him, but I've read a whole lot of him. But there's one aspect of Merton's life which happened in 1958 when he had been in the monastery for roughly 17 years, and he would die 10 years later after this. But on March the 18th, 1958, Merton was allowed to go into, and I'm going to say this correctly, Louisville. He was allowed to go into Louisville on an errand. And while he's in Louisville on this errand, it's rush hour. Rush hour happens. And he all of a sudden has this experience. And this experience is kind of famous. It's called Merton's Fourth and Walnut experience. Except that Walnut now is no longer Walnut, it's Muhammad Ali Boulevard. And you can go there to this day, and there's a big plaque that memorializes this event. Anybody heard of the Fourth and Walnut experience? It's kind of a thing. I'm gonna read you from his writing about this experience that he had in the middle of downtown Louisville, okay, at rush hour, when he's standing on the street corner. And this is what he writes. He says, and this is him writing just like a month later. He says, in Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all those people, that they were mine and I theirs, that we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness, of spurious self-isolation in a special world, the world of renunciation and supposed holiness. This sense of liberation from an illusory difference was such a relief and such a joy to me that I almost laughed out loud. And I suppose my happiness could have taken form in the words, thank God, that I am like others, that I am only a man among others. It is a glorious destiny to be a member of the human race, though it is a race dedicated to many absurdities and one which makes many terrible mistakes. Yet, with all that, God himself gloried in becoming a member of the human race. A member of the human race. To think that such a commonplace realization should suddenly seem like news that one holds the winning ticket in a cosmic sweepstakes. Then it was as if I suddenly saw the secret beauty of all these people's hearts. The depths of their hearts were neither sin nor desire nor self-knowledge can reach. The core of their reality, the person that each one is in God's eyes. If only they could all see themselves as they really are. If only we could see each other that way all the time. There would be no more war, no more hatred, no more cruelty, no more greed. I suppose the big problem would be that we would fall down and worship each other. But this cannot be seen, only believed and understood by a peculiar gift. At the center of our being is a point of nothingness which is untouched by sin and by illusion. A point of pure truth, a point or spark which belongs entirely to God, which is never at our disposal, from which God disposes of our lives, which is inaccessible to the fantasies of our own mind or the brutalities of our own will. This little point of nothingness and of absolute poverty is the pure glory of God in us. It is, so to speak, his name written in us in our poverty, as our indigence, as our dependence, as our sonship. It is like a pure diamond blazing with the invisible light of heaven. It is in everybody, and if we could see it, we would see these billions of points of light coming together in the face and blaze of a sun that would make all the darkness and cruelty of life vanish completely. I have no program for this scene. It is only given. But the gate of heaven is everywhere. But the gate of heaven is everywhere. Have you noticed that our society seems pretty fractured right now? Anybody notice it? Yeah. We're kind of doing this motion instead of this motion. We're coming apart rather than coming together. And it is apparent daily, hourly sometimes. What if we could see one another in that way that Merton just described? What if we could see each other in the way that God sees us? What if we could see and apprehend each other as diamonds, as brilliant at the core, as light inside of us, the light that each one of us bears? What if we could acknowledge that about one another? And what if we, as Christian communities, could lead the way in that? What if we, as Christian communities, could run point in a world that is divided, in a land that is split and separate? What if we, as Christians, could model a different way of being? Let me suggest that you are that already. You, St. Michael's, are that already. You are that already. You, and here I'm going to bring back signs, the worship that you do today, remembering the parish we were just at, St. Jude's, the relationship, as fraught or fractured as it might have been, nonetheless, is here. And this community, I would suggest, is a sign in and of yourselves of that which points to a deeper reality, the deeper knowledge and understanding of who every human being is at the core, that your witness points to that. Your witness points to the reality of God and God's ability, God's desire, God's heart to make us what we already are, which, as Merton famously said, we are already one. We just don't see it. You point to that. You are that, this wonderful community of Christians. You already are that. Continue to point to it. Amen.
Amen.